point of this conversation really is I'm getting at this idea of how we can talk about and criticise computer games. And the possibility of it. And you know, I think you're getting to something interesting with your writing. So where is the value? I mean, this is the thing, are we falling into the trap of talking about video games as one thing? Should we be talking about, I don't know, you know what I mean?
It's like, if I was to try and boil it down, I'd say like it's like this. Like all creative mediums that are there to be experienced and commented on, whether that's on purpose or just by sheer nature of people and having to comment on things with their own opinion, games give you a more personal experience.
Yeah.
Because, like we said, you can read a book and have an opinion of it, but you can play a game in a completely different way to somebody else. Mm. And depending on the game will depend on the level of personal choice within that game. Mm. And that is really, honestly, what it comes down to. I could review FIFA or Call of Duty or any game that is essentially a technically well-made game and say, yes, it plays well, yes, the graphics are good, but I have no interest in that because it is nothing more than that to me.
Yeah.
And I am interested in games that engage me in lots of ways, that make me, that, you know, once I've put the game down, I think about the game afterwards.
So it's almost like the games you're interested in is the ones that engage you on a kind of philosophical level.
Yeah, sometimes not even philosophical. It doesn't have to be high-minded. Yeah. If I just think about something in a game.
I mean, we'll go back to Street Fighter.
Exactly. Yeah. If I can sit down, it can engage me while I'm not even playing the game. If then that is, it's job done. That is what it's about, really. I mean, I played a game called Shadows of the Damned, which is essentially one long knob joke, but it does it with such self-belief and style that you just have to enjoy it because it doesn't take itself seriously. And it creates a world that you're just willing to accept because it just believes in itself and it's so well made, so well designed, the visuals, you know, everything that goes into it. Someone's created a separate little universe and you've gone into it, interacted with it, and then you've come out of it.
Mm.
But you have made that happen. You haven't just experienced it and read about it. You made it happen. And then you've come away and you thought, I did this in that game. Instead of just thinking, this character did this in that game.
So, I mean, you've brought this idea up a few times, is this idea of almost keeping it real. Yeah?
Yeah.
Keeping it real. If a game believes in it, you know, a game believes in itself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's kind of, so it's like, is it that kind of same distinction you might make with music, where you've got the difference between Westlife, which will sell, you know, 6 million records, and an obscure artist who you think personally does something interesting and innovative and good. And
I suppose, that is the comparison. It's not one I always like to make because it's that sort of, it's fringing on that sort of hipster mentality of like, oh my god, popular things are so popular, so average.
Yeah.
But that is it, really. I mean, like, okay, Call of Duty, it believes in itself. It goes balls deep on that. I'm a military man who kills dudes, and I'm gonna go from country to country and kill dudes. Mm. And here's the reason I'm doing it, and nuclear bombs going off in the upper atmosphere and cataclysmic events, and fine, that's great, but that is actually really all in the realms of possibility. Whereas me being a demon hunter that has to go to hell to rescue my girlfriend, who's the the concubine of the king of hell, is not. And if somebody can create a game that engages you in that situation, they don't have to make it realistic.
Yeah.
They have to make it believable. And by believable, I mean consistent.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It believes in itself. It has created a world and it has just gone balls deep on it. Mm. You know what I mean? It has wanted to create an experience of pure escapism.
Mm.
Whereas things like, I'm going to keep going back to it, and obviously people by now are going to be able to tell that I think FIFA and Call of Duty are quite marginal. But those games, they create an experience, but they're not really escapism. They're not true escapism. They're just simulations, really. You know what I mean? They are. This is a simulation of a war story. This is a simulation of football and such. Whereas, I mean, I suppose you could say, like, yeah, Devil May Cry is the simulation of being the son of a devil that has to fight things. But even then, within that idea there, it is more original.
Maybe is that just linking to your taste in maybe fantasy and science fiction?
Yes, or, you know, yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously, if I wasn't into those things and I just liked football and war films, I'd be you know, waxing lyrical about FIFA and Call of Duty. I don't want people to think that I don't think these are, in their own way, good games.
Yeah.
But that's really, for me, only in the sense of a game that I think
we're talking the difference between quality mechanics and aesthetics, aren't we, I think, in a way.
Yeah, we're talking about...
I hope.
Yeah. No,
at least I am.
Yeah. Well, that's what it is. We're talking about what you do and how you do it. Like, when making games, you have the opportunity to do amazing things and create amazing worlds. And so you can... And obviously, in any industry based on money, unfortunately, you get that sort of marginalisation and sort of things becoming average, lowest common denominator, like you said. Mm. But if you have an opportunity to just completely create something new, I would always value the new. Even if it wasn't... a technically good game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I have still played games that were kind of shit to play, but enjoyed them more than a more realistic, more average game that the controls were better.
So in a way, I mean, you know, going back to the art thing, it's this idea of almost avant-garde. The idea of pushing the boundaries.
Yes.
Trying to create newness, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I can see that. So it's, you've almost got avant-garde sensibilities, but within gaming, which is great. I think my final thing that I'd like to talk about is the, as I say, for me, it's all been all about criticism and the way we talk about these games and stuff. Right, if you read a book and you want to criticise it, and you can link back to books, and then, for example, you want to refer to a thing, a scene in Shakespeare, what did he do? Well, you go and turn to that page in Shakespeare. You can read that scene there, and then it's immediate. Yeah, if you watch a film, you think, oh, this reminds me of this, I'll go and look back, you can flick through the film and think, oh yeah, there it is, you know. And it's, I think the criticism of gaming is almost screwed from the start, because you don't have... What I think you have is this idea of subjective personal memory of your experience as a gamer, yeah?
Yeah.
As your almost autobiographical criticism, which is...
Yes, yeah, that's
very...
Yeah. It's very apt.
But, I mean, maybe all criticism is, if you know what I mean. But if someone wanted to sound pretentious, they could go, oh, well, you know what, I'm going to go and flick through the dictionary of quotations. Well, Oscar Wilde once said, blah, blah, blah. And this can be, you know, it almost fits in with what I'm saying now. As a gamer, it's almost like your writing is, you know, your references that you drew from in, what's the game called? Asura's Wrath, you were talking about. And you made references to a PS1 game. What was it called? Began with A as well, I think.
Which one?
It was an RPG, British made, had humorous in notes.
Alundra. That was my Bastion review.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so in that review, you talked about Alundra.
Yeah.
Yeah? I've not played that game. I don't get the reference. Other gamers will. But it's all based on your personal experiences. And this is what I think makes it almost different from literary criticism. Is you can't really blag it the same. Do you see what I mean? Well, like, you know,
you have to have the chops.
Yeah. If I want to say do a thing about sculpture, review a sculptor, you know, I could flick open an art book, look who it's similar to, and then, you know, you can draw comparisons like that. With gaming, it's almost like you cannot do that. It's like, okay, we drew reference to the Aeris scene in Final Fantasy VII. how long do you have to play Final Fantasy VII in order to get that? If you wanted to experience that again...
You're looking at about 30 hours, I think.
Yeah, it's not something that happens straight away. It's something you've got to invest in.
Mm-hmm.
You can't flick to it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. You've earned that experience.
Yeah, and if you're going to do it again, then you almost need to earn it again.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You could probably go on YouTube and find a clip of it.
But it's not the same because it's not the interactive.
No, and
nature.
It's not your experience. You know what I mean? It's not your way into it.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I think computer game criticism is almost, and it's a double-edged sword, I think. I think you've got this situation where, on the one hand, it is very subjective and very personal to the critic. But on the other hand, I think that could be alienating. It could be it's just such a strange.
I know what you mean.
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's the thing. I don't necessarily struggle with it, but I think about it a lot when I'm reviewing. Is that I have to be able to relate this game to other games because people need that comparison. Yeah. Because I don't just want to be going through my own emotional experience of it, my own intellectual
but
experience.
But then you've also got
it.
To appeal to that broader
exactly.
audience. Like if you're reviewing a CD, and like for example, you might be reviewing. Let's just take the example again of Aeris's scene in Final Fantasy VII. You might really deconstruct it and write a really great review of this particular scene, right? If anyone else wants to almost test out your criticism, they've got to sit there for 30 hours and do that. Yeah?
Yeah.
If I write a review of a CD, you can pick up the CD and listen to it. Within half an hour, you can judge whether... And it's a very, very strange area of criticism, I think, but one that shouldn't... You know what I mean? One that's really interesting and really...
I think really what it boils down to is investment, really. I mean, games are still relatively new. I mean, when I was young, I grew up as games were starting. I mean, maybe not so young as right at the very start, but I, you know, my first games console was Commodore 64. It wasn't even really a games console. Yeah. It was a computer you could play games on. But I grew up into the habit of finding this amount of investment for this payoff acceptable.
Yeah.
That it's like a cultural, generational thing.
Yeah.
And I think that...
I mean, we've already almost broached that, haven't we? The older critics not being able to grasp. Because I think a lot of older critics, it's just... Pew, pew, pew,
yeah, the screen, they just think know. It's just... it's purely about satisfaction.
Yeah.
And, you know, essentially...
Yeah, well, then is it all art, really?
Well, yeah, I know what you mean. No, well, sometimes it's about thumbing your nose at people or making people kind of go, what the fuck? And some games are like that as well. Yeah. But I honestly think that it is a generational thing. It is our generation and the generation following us are more attuned to that type of thinking.
Yeah. It's almost interesting because our generation, you know, the one that's coming through now is almost... stereotyped as having this lack of attention span and
ironic. Yeah, would your parents sit through 100 hours of a game?
Yeah, well that's it. Well, I think we should wrap it up there.
Okay,
we've ambled about. I think we've got some
wandered across points and
No, well, thanks for listening and
thanks. Thanks for the opportunity to talk random things at you.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll see some more of your reviews again soon, Critical Mister.
Coming soon.
All right, cheers. Bye.
Bye.